Calming.
How did we get here?
It's all right. I feel that way, too.
The Great American Meltdown.
How dare you put this man into office?
As your voice of reason. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. Happy Thursday. It is 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. Top stories, FBI arrests Florida man planning to attack the New York Stock Exchange. More details on that coming up. Also, plenty of controversy surrounding former Congressman Matt Gaetz and him being picked for Attorney General. We'll dig into that. But there are other controversial picks, and that's why I want to welcome this morning. Good morning, Dr. John. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm enjoying the view on the Turnpike South. It's sitting in the parking lot that it has become after an accident around Mineola. So anyone heading south, get on Waze or something. I forgot to do the Waze thing. So I'm enjoying talking to you.
Yeah, there's not always some easy ways to navigate that area, just so you know, because I live down there in Ocoee. And, well, since then, it's more of a spaghetti mess. But let's talk about the topics at hand, especially areas where you have expertise, since you are a doctor. What do you think about the pick of RFK Jr.? Is he a bit of a wild card? And maybe that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, it's a good thing, and I have a relationship with him that's a good relationship, but I also can tell you, you know, the Make America Healthy Again acronym or mantra, whatever you want to call it, moniker, is good. It's appropriate. We need to address so many aspects of, you know, how sick our society has become and how sick our healthcare system specifically has become. But that said, of course, we all know, Bobby Kennedy is not a doctor and no healthcare background other than his ability to take on the food industry and having the right ideas about COVID and the vaccines, in my opinion. So he's a great pick. I can tell you what's happening behind the scenes right now is there's about 100 docs around the country that I know of, I probably close to that, who have all been, you know, asked to be involved. And I'm one of those. And that's no secret because, you know, you get the phone calls. And the question is how much they're going to really engage the physicians that are clinically practicing medicine. They're actually involved day-to-day with Medicare, Medicaid insurance, and patients and hospitals, et cetera. Because, you know, the call I got, honestly, they said, would you be willing to move to D.C.? And I said, hell no. You know, who wants to do that? I mean, that's ridiculous. If they're going to get doctors, they need doctors to stay in practice and then give them their input, their expertise based on that. So we're working on those details. You got to get doctors involved. You know, you can't just have non-doctors. You know, the whole alternative healthcare movement has a lot of good, you know, in terms of getting fluoride out of the water and not eating processed foods and, you know, getting rid of the Doritos and helping address obesity. You don't need doctors necessarily to address those issues, but you do need good doctors when you need good docs. And CMS, the Center for Medicare Services, that's going to be, headed by Dr. Oz, of all people, you know, who hasn't been in clinical practice in forever. And yet Medicare dictates how we take care of our patients, literally dictates how we take care of our patients. Senator, so that is a huge position, and that's where they need the advice of real docs.
Yeah, because if you do a procedure, for instance, you're going to be paid based on what Medicare says the procedure should pay, correct?
Medicare has been a disaster since it started in 1965. I'm so glad you used that word procedure. When LBJ unleashed the Medicare program in 1965, the healthcare system tremendously changed for the worse because they started to compensate based on procedures. And the doctors were taught that these current procedural terminology, CPT, you had to document every procedure you do and you had to optimize your revenue. You wrote what procedures you did and you actually overdid it. You're being told to make sure you get paid more. So what ends up happening is for the last 40, 50 years, doctors are obsessed with procedural terminology, and in the process, they don't get paid for listening to patients. They don't get paid to use their brain, frankly. I mean, a lot of times. I mean, it's just based on, the income is based on procedures and not on thinking. And that's been really the demise of healthcare, the demise of intellectual curiosity and critical reasoning. It's all about procedures. The other thing that CMS does, you know, this can be a little indicated. Yesterday, I got chewed out by another doctor. I'm in part of something called an accountable care organization, which is how I'm able to make it work in independent practice. And they're saying, Dr. Littell, your patients are too healthy. There's no way your patients are that healthy. You need to find more diagnoses. You need to make them look sicker, because we're not going to get paid enough next year as a group because of your patients who do not have any diagnoses on their charts. I mean, I'm dead serious, guys. This is the way healthcare has gotten to be, where if you can put 78 diagnoses on a patient, you're considered a great doc.
That was explosive what you just said, how you said it. Yeah, you need sick people to make the system work. Now, how does this impact the future? In other words, there's supposed to be a doctor shortage now and coming, but if you want more sick people, you're not going to be able to address their illnesses, right?
Well, what you end up having to do as a doctor is jump through a million hoops. You know, you have to find out every diagnosis they can possibly have, and then you have to show CMS, Medicare Services, that you've addressed each and every problem by putting a code in that addresses what the A1C is for the diabetic, what the blood pressure. I mean, I'm telling you, seriously, guys, the blood pressure comes in. If it's 132 over 82, I have a separate code I have to put in for 132 over 82. If the A1C is 7.4, I have a code I have to put in for that. At the end of the day, it's all about finding diseases and putting in the right codes that tell CMS that I'm a good boy. And future doctors don't want to deal with that. They're going to be working for hospitals that do all that for them. If they go into their own practices and become independent, they're going to realize quickly, unless something changes, and honestly, it will change. It has to change. We've got 4 years to do it. I think it kind of takes the steam out of a lot of the young doctors. They're like, wow, I didn't get into medicine to do this.
Yeah, one of the things is they also want to control, like, your treatment protocol. Like, oh, if the diagnosis says this, then that calls for maybe this test or that test. But it doesn't always leave it in your hands to make that decision, because you might not get paid back for it, correct?
Yeah, your options. Well, you guys alluded to AI earlier in the show, and it's really very much a part of medicine nowadays. So that, you know, I put in a diagnosis in my EMR, my electronic record, and the prescription comes up. I mean, that I go to treatment, and all of a sudden it has the medication right in front of me. Now, I may not want to use that medication, but it's if I don't want to think, I'll just hit that button, because it's so much quicker for the computer to make the decision than for me to have to think. And the same thing with insurances. You know, I have to stop and ask the patient. I tell the patient, listen, I would like to do this, but your insurance probably won't do this. So I'm going to send off this one and that one and this one, and at the end of the day, find out which one is covered and which one I'm allowed to do without jump. So no, it is. Medicine is really frustrating. The vocation of medicine has taken a big hit because, again, the best and the brightest minds out there, like your kids or you know, my daughter who's a doctor with me. You know, they spend hours just jumping through these hoops for everybody, the government, the insurance company, the hospitals. On the bright side, you know, Bobby Kennedy knows some of the docs that are out there that are doing the good work. And, you know, they pick a guy like Dr. Oz. Yeah, he's willing to uproot and live in D.C. I'm sure he doesn't have any real foundation anywhere else, probably. But I would just, you know, say that if they're going to use my expertise and some of my other friends around the country, they need to allow us to keep firmly in medicine. We have to see the fruits of our labor. You know, you can't go to D.C. and become a swamp creature and fix things. You have to be able to see what's happening in your community, you know, in your home.
Agreed. Yeah, you have to have both. I think he chose those people also because, you know, they're good communicators. Dr. Oz, obviously, with the success of his show, he's a great communicator, and he'll be able to get these ideas across, not just to people and other doctors, but, you know, they got to navigate Congress if they want real and lasting change, right?
Oh, amen. I just hope they all, at the end of the day, I hope they all understand who the absolute healer is, and that's God, and I want them to have God in their lives too. I mean, that seems like a pie in the sky thing, but there's a lot of issue with values in D.C. right now, as you guys will be talking about. And in healthcare, we need to have, you know, Christian values, in my opinion.
We'll say a prayer for you right now to get through that traffic safely. Dr. John, always a pleasure. Thank you. And God bless you. We will always look forward to conversation. We will definitely be having more as this Trump transition continues to unfold and take place. Coming up, Florida man arrested by the FBI planning to blow up the New York Stock Exchange. Details on the way. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Potty mouth. She's naughty sometimes.
Yeah, but you like it.
Yeah. I want her to beat me. Thank you. I was actually talking about the product.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking about getting that.
Really?
I heard it was good for you. I don't know. She talks about it. She says it's good for you. It is 8:22. Good morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Let me give you the code before I give you the top story. Got your tickets for Rock the Country. Text the word horse to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of two-day tickets for Rock the Country, Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and a whole lot more. This is 2 days, May 9th and 10th in Ocala. Text the word horse to 20357 now. Date and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Thank you. According to the FBI, a Florida man has been arrested and charged in a plot to bomb the New York Stock Exchange this week. Some are saying, oh, don't worry, it'll implode all on its own. Oh, no. No, no, no. A Florida man arrested Wednesday, and it was a plot to reboot. The term was used, reboot the U.S. government. Reboot the U.S. government. Like, in his own twisted way, he thinks, like, doing damage to New York Stock Exchange, well, what, cause the government to drop to their knees and do what precisely?
Well, I guess he's thinking if it crashes financially, you literally are starting over from nothing. That's his philosophy, at least.
You don't think that that would bring a lot of pain, and most of the pain would be felt by those who maybe have the least?
Yeah.
Anyway, people get twisted up. And, he was going to plant a bomb, New York Stock Exchange. Apparently detonated with a remote-controlled device. Haron Abdul Malik Yenner, 30, of Coral Springs, Florida, charged with attempt to use an explosive device to damage or destroy a building used in interstate commerce. They were investigating him beginning back in February, based on a tip that he was storing bomb-making schematics. Yep, in a storage unit. They found bomb-making sketches, many watches with timers, electronic circuit boards, and other electronics that could be used for building explosive devices. He had also searched online for things related to bomb making, dating all the way back to 2017. Yenner also told undercover FBI agents that he wanted to detonate the bomb the week before Thanksgiving and that the stock exchange in Lower Manhattan would be a popular site to target. The stock exchange, he said, we want to hit that because it'll wake people up. That's according to affidavits. Yenner, who was described as unhoused, is a place to store schematics, documents, but he is described as unhoused. Homeless? I don't know. Is that the political correctness of the FBI report now?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted to bomb the stock exchange in order to reboot the U.S. government. Everybody knows how to reboot, right? Turn it off and turn it back on again. He said it would be like a small nuke went off, killing everyone inside the building. Wow.
And that's going to solve all the problems of America somehow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twisted minds, you can't. It's You cannot try to rationalize what's completely irrational, you know, no matter how hard you try. In the last month, he had rewired two-way radios so they could work as remote triggers for an explosive device and planned to wear a disguise when planning the explosives. Yenner had his first court appearance Wednesday. He'll be detained until trial. He's known to post videos on a YouTube channel about making explosives and fireworks from household items and had a history of making threats. Hey, you make a potato gun, that's okay.
Yeah.
You want to plant bombs and kill people, that's a different story.
So no place to live, has a storage unit, but has time and the means to put things on YouTube.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he had a job. He was fired last year from a restaurant in Coconut Creek after his former supervisor said he threatened to go Parkland shooter. I'm going to go Parkland shooter in this place.
Not a good employee.
Not in a good Florida, thing to say when people who actually are customers in that restaurant probably know somebody that died in Parkland because it's right down the road. He was also part of some small group that he tried to join, the far-right anti-government group Boogaloo Boys and extremist group the Proud Boys, but was denied membership because he said he wanted to pursue martyrdom. Yeah.
There's a goal for you. Wow.
Hmm.
They walk among us, Bob.
No word on possible religious beliefs or anything else.
Huh.
Yeah. That didn't come up.
Interesting.
But they know he tried to join the Proud Boys.
Okay.
Okay, just interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. Hey, look, the FBI caught a bad guy.
Yeah, it's good.
That's a good thing.
That's good.
We're about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile, so keep that.
No, we're not.
We're about an hour and 15 minutes. Wow.
Somebody wants to go home.
I almost cut Art Forgy completely out. Spokesperson for Alachua County Sheriff's Office, Art, will be here in about 30 minutes. We still have plenty of headlines to get to. Don't go anywhere. 97.3 The Sky. Another day in paradise. Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:35. Let me give you a chance to win those tickets to Rock the Country. It's going to be a huge and very, very fun event. Rock the Country, a festival for we the people, coming to Florida Horse Park in Ocala, May 9th and 10th. Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Tracy Lawrence, Gavin Adcock, Joe D. Messina, and more. Two-day tickets go for $139 each. They are on sale now at rockthecountry.com. But I will give you a keyword which will help you to possibly win a pair of tickets. Okay? You need to text the keyword horse, H-O-R-S-E, to 20357. You'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to that two-day Rock the Country event that is going to be absolutely huge. Text horse to 20357. Do that now. Data and message rates may apply. Please, no text and drive. All right, good morning. Cooler weather moving in. I think it's great. I think we need a little break. Maybe it'll kill some of those bugs. I don't mind that at all. All right? And a chance to wear some jackets. Yeah. It's all a good thing.
The pictures shall be appearing soon.
Alex Marlowe on his show and others. Look, we've come to understand that these picks by Donald Trump, by and large, are very strong and are going to be very good. And one of the big things that they're going to attempt to do is, a series of deregulation type moves, not deregulate to the point to where we're pouring pollution straight into our water supply. Of course not. But there has been a lot of regulation that was added under the Obama years. Some of it was peeled back, and then more under the Biden years. It's just this. They have this love of regulate. It's funny. It's again. It goes back to. Democrats think policing, say, corporations is so much more important than, policing criminal illegals.
That's messed up.
Isn't it?
It is so messed up.
I mean, it really is. Look how their mindset is. America basically is inherently evil. That's how they look at everything.
They do. Yeah.
So a corporation that employs a lot of people and that people also generate revenue from by investing in their stocks, but in their mind, they're evil. Evil corporation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people, they don't do anything. They don't produce a product. Those that work in government.
Right. But they do have little insight on stocks into some of those companies and don't mind making a lot of money.
Oh, what was it? The Pelosi's? Their rate of return exceeded the best of the best market stuff for years and by like triple the amount. Somebody had a 12% gain, they're like 36%. It's ridiculous. There's no way you can chalk it up to luck or to even be smart. It goes way beyond that. But Alex Marlowe said, this is where I love Trump's cabinet picks, because it's going to be a deregulation bonanza. And it's going to be clearing out the deep state. And he also said that he predicted that a lot of deep staters will just leave their jobs. And there is great hope on that.
Yes.
I mentioned that yesterday, that a bunch are going to be jumping off the ship in the Department of Justice. And then many of the ones that might remain are lawyering up.
Yeah, jumping like rats on a sinking ship.
With lawyers. Are hiring lawyers?
There's a concern.
There might be a problem. Yeah. There could be a problem there. I'm just saying could be.
There's a there in this case.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of theirs there.
You know, and back to, if you don't mind, I want to go back to a little bit about what Dr. John Littell was talking about, because he's been with us on a regular on the show going all the way back to COVID.
Yep.
And he thought outside the box. He did and said things that were controversial, you know, the ivermectin thing, hydroxychloroquine, and he saved over 3,000 people.
Yeah, basically his patients didn't die during COVID.
Well, and then on the air just recently, he mentioned that, you know, there's some pressure on him because they're like, hey, John, your patients are too healthy. We can't make money.
Isn't that just the ultimate irony?
Well,
we talked about how the industry can't go away. You know, the big pharma, they can never cure anything, because if they do, what do they do?
And he mentioned RFK Jr. I said, is he kind of a wild card? And he said, well, maybe. He just wanted to make sure that people recognize that, you know, you can understand a lot about medicine or have a lot of questions about things that are done in terms of vaccines.
Sure.
He's not a doctor. And so I think he wants to make sure that doctors are well represented.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Oz, I think he appreciates him, but he did make the point that here's a guy who hasn't worked in a clinical setting for decades.
Right.
So what are you seeing now? What are the trends every day seeing patients? So, you know, when Dr. John's offered to possibly relocate to D.C. and be kind of part of this team that's hopefully going to make America healthier, he was like, nah, I don't want to go to D.C. because that automatically means giving up your practice. And he has patients that he wants to serve and information that he can glean and gather through the practice of medicine could go a long way to helping the people that decide, hey, they want to or will go to Washington. And there's a lot of stuff I didn't really get to cover with him. But we need to have him on the show for like a whole hour. We really do. But first, you've got to get, you know, the government to listen. That's not easy, okay? You got to get them to listen. Because for every truth that you tell, say, as a doctor, to say a member of Congress, for every truth that you tell, they've got a lobbyist whispering in their other ear, okay? And that is more of the siren song. Dripping with honey, so sweet to hear. Just a taste of what the lobbyist has to offer. Right? That's it. There you go. So that's part of the dynamic. If you can get them to listen, then you got to get them to make a decision. And that's where more politics get involved. What do my constituents think? What do other members of my party think? And all those factions. So then if you do are fortunate enough to get, you know, anywhere close to plurality to make a decision, then comes the real heavy lifting. Now you have to act on them. You have to act on them. You have to enforce them. Wow. I mean, America is a big ship, and it will take time to turn things around, especially something like healthcare. Healthcare, the industry. Healthcare, the government. Industry as well, big pharma, all these huge hospital conglomerates. I mean, there is a lot at play here. And talk to anybody about moving their cheese. Talk to anybody about, you know, their income stream changing. Nothing gets people's panties all wadded up
than telling them that, hey, we're going to make some changes, especially those that are feeding at the trough now.
Yeah.
They're going to be the most resistant, and many of those will be the ones that you have to convince. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to engage and make these changes happen. But, you know, it really, it all starts with personal responsibility. And we want to make sure that we don't stray too far from that idea. You see, there's some things you can control and you can't control. If somebody smashes into you in their car and you're hurt, you're going to need serious and good medical care. And that's something that occurred to you through no fault of your own. You may not have been able to control that situation. But certainly we can all do a better job maybe of controlling things like our health, our weight, the blood pressure, the other things that you can have an impact on. So hopefully all this will also be sort of part of an overall education of the American people, but you're going to be fighting against the messages of, "Hi, it's wonderful. Cheers, the lucky bits that you can put in your child's mouth at 27 grams of sugar per serving." All right.
And what color dyes would you like in your food today?
It's not the colors. It's where do you want to get those dyes from? Some type of metal or maybe something a little more naturally occurring, like from fruits or vegetables?
Oh, so lead? I thought lead was natural.
Well.
It's a way to think about it, you know.
Yeah.
You're right, though.
It is 8:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We got plenty more to get to, including stupid people like Meathead and Joya Behar.
Mm-hmm.
We'll deal with that quickly. Put them out of their misery next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:50, 10 minutes until 9 o'clock, and it is Thursday. Hang in there. Come on, weekend. FBI arrests a Florida man planning to attack the New York Stock Exchange, hoping that an attack there around now, between now and Thanksgiving, I guess, while it was planned, that it would cause the government to reboot. Whatever that means.
That's kind of like Nancy Pelosi thinking that we almost lost democracy because of something that happened in a building.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way, people.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
The only difference is this guy definitely is a weirdo, where Nancy Pelosi achieved
she just looked crazy.
A lot of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you got that going on. Oh, you got your Hollywood weirdos.
Oh, gotta love them.
Let me start out with a positive one.
Okay.
You know who Jason Aldean is. Most people do. Country music star. Can't get away with that crap in a small town.
I think he rewrote that a little bit.
Bring your flipping neck, boy.
Bob Rose version.
I always paraphrase.
Here's
how it really goes.
Punch somebody on a sidewalk. Carjacking old lady at a red light. Pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool, act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face. Stomp on the flag and light it up.
Yeah, I've heard enough. Spit a cop's face, step on the flag. I am not going to go down this path, but I do have to say.
Yes.
That guy Penny that is undergoing trial right now in New York.
Oh, yeah. He's the ex-Marine,
The subway guy.
Yes.
Who thwarted danger. Stopped at what could be a very dangerous person from attacking and hurting others. I can't believe that there are people that are once again for the bad guy.
And right.
And when I say that, look, mental illness and stuff like that, it's not like he can help that, but that doesn't make him less dangerous.
Right.
I didn't intend to go crazy. I didn't intend to hurt people.
But you still did, so the result is the same.
And somebody was attempting to stop you.
Yes.
To create resistance from you being able to possibly hurt others. And in that action, you died. You were also under the influence of drugs, but apparently it doesn't matter. So
those are all excuses.
You can't force somebody to take maybe responsibility for their mental illness, okay? But But is there any responsibility? Why are you doing this synthetic marijuana, which I don't even know why they call it that.
I know.
Because it's...
It doesn't matter what it's
made of. It's not really related.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
To marijuana. That's why it's... I mean, it's almost anything goes. Whatever you put in there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's synthetic marijuana. Yeah. It's like synthetic oil? Good. Synthetic marijuana? Not good. No. You wouldn't put it in your engine. Why are you putting it in your body? But anyway, back to the original story. Because nobody's going to want to step up and be a hero. Nobody's going to want to step up and be a sheepdog. Nobody's going to want to step up and protect anybody else. Look, members of our military, members of our police force, other people who say have undergone some training. I mean, the whole idea is protect the weak. I'm a tiger. I respect everyone. I defend the weak and use my power for defense only. That was our short little part of our tiger creed as training in the martial arts. Yeah. Defend the weak. And this guy tried to defend the weak in the subway, and he's... That Alvin Bragg, what was the original charge? Second-degree manslaughter?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
The world's turned upside down. But back to the good news. Brittany Aldean, the wife of country star Jason Aldean, said President-elect Donald Trump is going to do really great things, adding that despite her and her husband facing backlash for years over their support for the 45th, soon-to-be 47th president, the tide is turning. We were very supportive on the campaign trail. We've actually been supportive for years and years. She told Fox News of her and her husband's support for Trump, and she said, we received a ton of backlash initially, but I think everybody's coming around, and, things are, the tide is turning, and it's really awesome to see since we've been on that boat for a long time. People express thanks to the podcaster Joe Rogan, people who were members of, the artists and actors communities and things like that, where if you express anything less than left of center, you're going to be ostracized. And they thanked him for coming out and endorsing Trump. Now you see the courage of some NFL players now doing, the Trump dance. The tide is turning. It is good. And it was never good when people were afraid to express who they're rooting for and cheering for. I've never seen it like that before. And Hulk Hogan was doing an interview. This is Hulk Hogan. What's he like, 6'6"? Okay? And he said he had concerns, he didn't want to put, Trump stickers on his vehicle and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he was afraid somebody would attack him personally, although that's a possibility, even with his size. He was worried that the gutless, gutless wonders come by and scratch it or do damage to his vehicle, things like that.
Well, I remember during the whole anti-cop thing, we were a little concerned because we've got support law enforcement license plates on our cars.
Yep.
You shouldn't have to worry about that kind of thing.
No, but you
do.
Unfortunately, yeah, you do. The country star's wife went on to say that she and her husband know Trump personally. He's an awesome man.
Nice.
But obviously, he's going to do some really great things for this country, along with Elon Musk and RFK Jr. So,
gotta love it.
There's the positive. We'll get the boneheads in there. That'll come up next hour. But first, we're going to talk to our friend in law enforcement. In fact, Alachua County Sheriff's Office spokesperson Art Forgy in the studio next, right here on 97.3 The Sky.